Muy buenos días, Radio Escucha. Mi nombre es Jorge Alfaro y ustedes están en sintonía del KBBF, el 89.1 del FM. Encantado que están en sintonía de esa su radio comunitaria. Y ahora tenemos algo muy especial preparado. Vamos a tener un escritor conocido al nivel nacional y al nivel internacional. Y me refiero al señor Víctor Villaseñor, que lo vamos a tener en vivo desde Carlsbad, California. Quiero dar gracias primeramente a el Centro por Sacred Studies, el Centro de Estudios Espirituales, por hacer posible esta entrevista con este escritor. Vamos a comenzar. Mi nombre es Jorge Alfaro y conmigo aquí me va a estar acompañando una intern que está practicando aquí en los controles y que quiere aprender de radio. Su nombre es Mighty Chávez. Muy buenos días, Mighty.
Buenos días, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, y va a ser un orgullo porque va a ser al tener que hablar con este escritor, el señor Villaseñor.
Sí, va a ser muy emocionante hablar con él.
Bueno, Víctor Villaseñor es un poeta mexicoamericano que nació en la ciudad de Carlsbad, California. Es hijo de padres mexicanos inmigrantes. Durante su infancia, él tuvo que enfrentar muchos obstáculos, muchas barreras. A temprana edad se le diagnosticó dislexia, que es una condición que hace difícil el aprendizaje. Aún así, él luchó muy fuerte para seguir adelante. Viajó a México a temprana edad. Él se decidió buscar sus raíces. Encontró mucha riqueza de conocimiento, de cultura, de arte, y fue muy inspirado. Luego regresó a los Estados Unidos cuando tenía 20 años. Se hizo escritor. Y tenemos a Víctor Villaseñor. Muy buenos días, Víctor.
Buenos días.
Estamos muy agradecidos y es un gran honor de tenerlo en vivo aquí en por teléfono de KBBF. Esta es una radio comunitaria que se enfoca en darle voces a los que no tienen voces.
A mí me da mucho gusto estar aquí porque cuando yo comencé a escribir estaba todo el tiempo diciendo que estoy escribiendo para los que no tienen voz. When I started writing, my premise was that I was writing for the people that have no voice, that we each need to have a voice, we each have to have our own story, necesitamos nuestra historia propia. Si no la tenemos, entonces estamos perdidos.
Usted ha sido el escritor de 9 novelas y más 65 o 65 historias cortas y ha sido galardonado 2 veces por el Pulitzer Prize. Y también ha sido galardonado muchas veces por su trabajo en la literatura. Una de las primeras preguntas que queremos hacerle, ¿quién es Víctor Villaseñor?
Una pregunta. La mayoría de la gente con la que estamos hablando hablan nomás español o hablan inglés y español.
En este segmento tenemos una radioescucha que habla bastante español, pero también podemos hablar en inglés.
Okay, porque no sabía si quieres que enrede las dos idiomas como así hablo con las dos, o si queremos puro español o puro inglés.
Podemos hablar los dos idiomas, si es posible.
Okay. Para comenzar, mi papá es de Jalisco. My father is from Jalisco, Mexico. Yeah. Mi mamá es de Chihuahua, de la Barranca de Cobre. Cobre, she's from the Copper Canyon. Y les puedo explicar todo en un ejemplo, en una historia muy corta. Mi abuelita era Yaqui Indian. Mi great grandfather, tatarabuelo, ¿cómo se dice? Su nombre era Leonardo Camargo. Y él estaba borracho en la playa allí en Sinaloa. And the cops came and hit him on the head, y pegaron la cabeza a los policías y dijeron que necesitaba ir a pelear las batallas en contra de los Yaquis, porque eran salvajes, eran terrorists, cannibals y todo. Y él dice, no puedo ir a pelear en contra de ellos. Tengo mi esposa, I have my wife, Rosa, y mis dos muchachitas. Dice, pues eres buen cristiano, you're a good Christian. Well, yeah. Pues fue, peleó contra los Yaquis y los Yaquis ganaron. Y los Yaquis no eran salvajes. Es que eran muy buenos con la sembra. Y tenían ranchos allí que sembraban ejote y maíz y calabaza y todo. They were good farmers. It was all propaganda and lies. Pues él se peleó en contra de ellos y los Yaquis ganaron. Entonces, lo que hicieron el gobierno, el militar mexicano, fue y mandó los hombres a pelear en contra de los hombres yaquis. Entonces mandaron otro grupo a echarle el juego, to burn the villages, y matar a las mujeres y los niños. Por 2 años, Camargo estaba matando niños y mujeres. Entonces, esta mañana, esta niña viene corriendo, comes running out of her shack with her hair on fire, viene corriendo de su casita hecha de palitos a palmas, y ella sale y tiene su lumbre en su pelo, está gritando, gritando. Entonces él mira un milagro. ¿Y qué es un milagro? Es cuando uno mira con los ojos de Dios, que no nos ha enseñado, not what we've been taught, but we see with the purity of God's eyes. Y él vio que era nomás una niña, no era salvaje, y estaba gritando por ayuda. Por su rifle, no la mató, y otro soldado fue a matarla. Volteó y mató a este otro soldado, un amigo de él, no quería matarlo, pero lo hizo protegiendo a la muchachita. Sí. Agarró a la muchachita con una cobija, pagó la lumbre que tenía en su pelo, robó un caballo, llegó a otros caballos, llegó a su casa y dijo, vamos a necesitar movernos de aquí de la costa de Sinaloa y vivir en la barranca de cobre allá escondidos. Y allá fueron a vivir. Entonces Rosa comenzó a tener coraje con esta niña india que la hicieron mover ya a escondidas y no estaba cerca de sus padres y sus hermanos y hermanas. Pero entonces un ángel vino sobre una piedra y le dijo, Rosa, no es tu esposo que salvó a esa niña. Esa niña salvó a tu esposo porque él estaba matando mujeres y niños por 2 años. Ella vio la luz, comenzó a quererla mucho, la llamó Guadalupe. Y Guadalupe es mi abuela. Y mi abuela me creció aquí en el barrio de Carlsbad. She raised me in the barrio of Carlsbad here in California. Y ella me dio el entendimiento y la educación de la gente antigua, de la gente india, de los yaquis. Y ella me dijo que todas las estrellas allá en el cielo son nuestra familia. Y que nosotros venimos, we come across the universe gathering stardust. Venimos de las estrellas, recogiendo polvo de las estrellas para plantar aquí, para el jardín de Dios, to plant here for God's garden. Entonces ella me enseñó cómo plantar maíz, ejotes, todo. En la noche, ella tenía una casa tan chiquita que era 10 pies por 15. Allí tenía su cocina, donde dormía, su sala, todo en ese lugar chiquito, 10 pies por 15 pies. Entonces afuera tenía su usado roundhouse, abajo del aguacate, y por eso tenía aguacates tan grandes, sí, y sabrosos. Esta es la historia completa.
Sí, sí.
Y ella me explicó, Dios nos mandó aquí para plantar nuestro jardín. Pues entonces yo me crecí pensando que nosotros estábamos cerca a Dios, that we were close to God. And I grew up thinking of all, todas estas cosas de gente indígena. Y cuando yo comencé a la escuela, no nomás es que no hablaba inglés, yo no entendía nada de lo que me decían. And that's why, because I didn't understand anything, that I eventually broke away from my American education and decided to become a writer and to write the stories de los de abajo, de la gente que no tiene voz, de la gente que mataron cuando vinieron de aquí los españoles y que mataron toda la gente indígena. Yo escribo del punto de vista de abuelitas indígenas. Eso es todo lo que yo he estado escribiendo por 52 años.
Very spiritual, muy espiritual, ¿no? Con mucha conciencia, con mucho amor para la existencia humana y para el derecho humano. I was reading your autobiography and you say that you were diagnosed with dyslexia. How did you deal with that, Mr. Villaseñor?
Dyslexia es el modo que uno mira. I see in patterns. I didn't learn to read till 20 years old. No aprendí a leer hasta los 20 años. Y por eso todo el tiempo me tenían en clases de los tontos. What confused them at school was I was very good in math and I was chess champion of the whole school. They thought I was faking it. And the thing is, I still have to this day trouble reading. In all my writing, I see pictures. Por eso toda mi escritura es muy simple. I write very simple. People can read all of my books at a seventh grade level. And I write very clean sentences because I have a memorized vocabulary. I still don't know how to read new words.
That's very inspirational, because despite of the hardship and despite all of these barriers that you had to confront, you found a way to prove to society that, yes, anybody can do it once you find your own innermost being and connect yourself spiritually with things that you really want to do, with Mother Nature and fighting for human dignity. I have a very young lady that is working as an intern here in our studio. Her name is Mighty Chavez, and she would like to relate to you a story, because I believe that her story connects to your story of struggle. We know that in this country, a lot of our young immigrant children that were brought to this country are oftentimes disrespected, discriminated against. They are deported back to the country of origin, even though they came here at an early age. And also, they confront many of the injustices because they are denied education. They are denied many of the benefits that every human being should enjoy as a matter of being a human being. Here's Mighty.
Buenos días, señor.
Buenos días.
Soy Mighty Chavez. Mucho gusto hablar con usted el día de hoy.
Mucho gusto. ¿Qué edad tienes?
Yo tengo 17 años.
Ay, qué bonito, qué bonito.
Gracias.
¿Y tus padres de dónde son?
Mis papás son de Michoacán.
Ah,
sí.
El primer libro se trata de Michoacán, se llama Macho.
Ah,
y un muchacho que viene a la brava, sin papeles. Ahora, ¿qué es la pregunta que quieres saber o qué me quieres decir?
Bueno, es que sí, he pasado por muchas cosas en estos momentos. Y mi mamá fue deportada. Cuando estaba trabajando en los campos, nos dejó a mí y a mis hermanos solos. Mi papá también trabaja en el campo y siempre se la pasa trabajando y todo. Mi mamá en estos momentos está en México. No le quería preguntar como qué consejo me podría dar a mí.
Pero me estás preguntando que... No, yo pensaba, él dijo que me ibas a decir una historia.
Oh, wow.
Que me digas la historia o me quieres preguntar cómo ser escritor... ¿Cómo escribir o qué es lo que me estás preguntando?
Yeah, Victor, this is George again. Yes, we were talking about her story, how her mother was deported from this country and how she was left alone. So our question is, as a advice to all of the young people in this country, especially young immigrants in this country.
Well, lo que le digo todo el tiempo a la juventud, what I always tell young people is that the most important thing they can do is to realize that we all need to write our own story, our own Bible. Bible, all it means is group of stories, group of family, tribal stories. That's what the word means. And when you talk with your parents, you interview them, and you write their story down, it validates them and gives them strength and gives you strength because you know where they came from. And you only have to go back as far as your grandparents and maybe a little bit of your great-grandparents. No hay necesidad de ir más lejos. Y cuando uno conoce la historia de nuestros padres, entonces uno tiene un respeto para nuestros padres. Y no que los padres comiencen a decir, oh, te doy este consejo y que te doy este consejo, no. Que ellos te platiquen... ¿Qué les pasó cuando vinieron de México? What were they thinking when they left the village? ¿Qué estaban pensando? ¿Qué miedo? What fear did they have? And what has been their experiences here? And by doing that, you validate yourself, you validate your parents, and validation is what causes a story to become important for a family. Like right now, I'm very excited that HBO is making a series of Reign of Gold. It's going to air in September 13th. I've been trying to make a deal with the movies for 20 years. And in that story, I'm going to be telling kids like you that's 16 years old, habla con tus padres, con tus abuelos, y aprende las historias, and then re-interview them. And it becomes a wonderful, wonderful experience that will make your life much richer can give you more confidence.
Well, thank you very much. And for those who are just joining us, we are talking to Victor Villaseñor. He is a Mexican-American writer and an author of 9 different novels. Among those novels have been Rain of Gold, 13 Senses, Wild Steps of Heaven, Burro Genius, Lion Eyes, Walking Stars. Next question we want to ask you, Victor, is that in this country, unfortunately, we see things from a black or white thing. We make decisions based on the is it black or white, is it my way or the highway. We never seem to reach a compromise to better understand the purpose of us human beings being in this planet and to better work our differences out. And when I was reading one of your novels, The 13 Senses, we have been accustomed to know about just 5 senses, but in your book you talk about 13 senses, and one of the senses is the balance. You talk about that being the key for the rest of the other senses.
Déjame explicar eso. Eso viene de Oaxaca. What I was raised by my Yaqui grandmother from Sonora, my father was always telling the stories that su mamá, que ella era de Oaxaca. Y mi papá, en la noche que él murió, me dijo que la razón, that the reason we have problems on earth is we don't use all of our senses. And I said, which of the 5, papa? And he said, who told you we have 5? And I said, well, that's what everybody tells us. That's what the education says. And he said, well, how stupid they are. Y él dijo, no, tenemos 12 o 13 sentidos. And ya que estoy del otro lado, once I'm on the other side, I'll come back and explain them to you. Well, that's in the book Beyond Rain of Gold, which I suggest for people not to read until they've read Rain of Gold and they've read 13 Senses. But anyway, in Beyond Rain of Gold, I explained to him, Papa came back, and this is what he told me. Que tenemos, we have 4 senses to the brain. And those are the only ones we have been educated by the Greeks to understand, which is sight, hearing, smell, and taste. And he explained to me that we have multiple perception, because once we get into our feelings, we balance them, and balance is the key. And once you balance your feelings, now you can trust your intuition. You walked into a room and felt something is wrong, ¿verdad?
Yes, of course.
Okay. What you did was you had a feeling, and you balanced yourself with the surroundings. And cops or people under war, they trust their feeling. They know how to protect themselves because they have a feeling that something is wrong, and then they back down or they move away. Animals do that all the time, and that's called, when you trust that, that's intuition. Y por eso mi papá me explicó que women are wise because they're intuitive, que las mujeres tienen juicio. Los hombres son inteligentes, pero no tienen juicio. So women are the natural leaders. So I grew up being raised with 13 senses. So 4 senses go to the brain, 3 go to the heart, and 6 go to the soul. And music, la música, is the 8th sense. We all have a sense of music. And the 8th sense is where we get in touch with God. Music is the voice of God. And so I was raised in the old Indian way. Mis abuelitas de los lados eran indígenas indias. And so I grew up with a whole different perception of reality that they offered us at school.
Once we get our feelings, then we can saber balancear la situación de nuestro
intuición, instintos.
No,
es un instinto que es mucho más inteligente que pensar y mucho más rápido.
One of your speeches I was listening to quoted one of your best friends and mentor. He said that to pray, I think I go. I go to pray, I think. Could you explain that a little bit to us? And is it life? It's like a circle. Is that it never ends? And then we can find ourselves and we make ourselves friends of Mother Nature and find our own harmony with life.
You said it perfectly right. To pray, I think I go. A rezar, pienso que voy. And then you do it the reverse. I go to pray, I think. Voy a rezar, pienso. enseña que todo el humano tiene duda. We're all full of doubt. And yet by praying, by going to pray, it gives us a peace. And it shows the conflict of thinking and praying, and that it is a circle of going around and around with doubt, with confidence, and then back again. That was wonderful. Thank you for bringing it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Indeed, it's a pleasure to have you with us. And we're going to take just a small break, and we're going to play a video clip or a soundbite. So I want you to listen to this, Victor. We prepare it especially for you and for the community to listen and to reflect on our own beings and our own human kindness that we have intrinsic in ourselves. So here's a clip that we have prepared.
A vision came to me when the sun went into shadow and I lay dying. And in my death, I saw the heaven of the white robe. Yes, it is as they describe it. But also there, my children, all the Indians that ever roamed this earth, all your beloved ancestors and mine, and those young ones who were taken by the white man to use it. Do not grieve for them. They want you to know that they are happy. Yes. And you should not grieve for yourself, because here is what the white robe did not tell you. The white man, my children, will soon be no more. But you must not hate the white man. This will only delay his end. But if you will do the dance that I will teach you, all the ancestors will return, and the buffalo will be renewed, and you shall all live forever, forever in the freedom that we as Indian people once knew.
And we're back. Victor,
okay.
That was very powerful. Remind me about some of the saying that you have in your speeches that you recall your grandparents, or your grandma was a very short lady, but she was full of force and positive energy. And you recall that she loves 11 or her son, but she said, well, we have 3 more to live. She had all total 14. Can you tell us a little bit about your grandparents?
Mi abuelita was from Oaxaca. Every day she would say, mañana es otro milagro de Dios. Y con el favor de Dios. And with those 2 Mexican sayings, tomorrow's another miracle of God, and with the blessing of God, she never gave up. So my father was the 19th child born to my grandmother when she was 50 years old. And 14 of those kids lived. 3 years into the Mexican Revolution, they've been killed, raped, slaughtered, lost. And all that's left is my father, 10 years old, and a red-headed, blue-eyed sister that had been raped and beaten so much that at the age of 13, she went blind. And then an older sister, Luisa, who had a child. And my father era muy moreno, with kinky black hair. He was very dark. And when his father, a Spaniard, saw that, comenzó a gritar, "Es el fin del mundo, it's the end of the world, God has forsaken us," and he started drinking and died. Pero la mamá de mi papá dijo, mañana es otro milagro de Dios, y con el favor de Dios, they came down from Los Altos de Jalisco and migrated to the Texas border, and it took them 2 years through starvation and war in the middle of the Mexican Revolution. And my father said that he learned that the power of our species comes from the female, que la fuerza de la familia viene de la hembra, that she's the one the cow takes care of, carries the baby and then nurses it. And the chicken makes the nest and carries the eggs and then takes care of them and hatches them. So my father always told me que the most important thing, la más importante cosa que un hombre puede hacer es saber cómo escoger, how to choose the right woman to marry. So I grew up admiring women, and I grew up with both of my parents, mi papá y mi mamá, admirando mis abuelitas, que eran indias. And that's how I tied into this organization that you're involved with, the 13 indigenous grandmothers that's up there in your area. And I stopped by their office. Future of the world is entender que con los 13 sentidos, with our 13 senses, the wisest people we have son las abuelitas, are the grandmothers. And that's what I write about, and that's what I talk about, the power of female energy. Las mujeres son el eje de la familia. Y los hombres que entienden eso, and the men who understand that, support them, las apoya. Y no están peleando en contra de la mujer. Le dan respeto.
No, oftentimes I say to myself, I am very highly spiritual. I am very well in tune with Mother Nature, with human dignity, with the resources that we have, that we need to make peace with whatever we have here on earth and be gracious. I'm not very religious kind of person, but I am very spiritual. Can you talk about what is the difference between being a spiritual person and being a religious, if you don't mind?
Okay. La diferencia de ser espiritual o ser religioso. I was raised very religiously. And the priests and nuns would tell me what to do. And the nuns and the priests also told me, todo lo que me dijeron mis abuelitas, my Indian grandmothers, was Indian superstition and stupid. And they would slap me and hit me. And I finally just got tired of the Catholic Church being so mean and cruel. Like my son said at 4 years old when we took him to church, we come out and he says, if God is that mean, why do we need a devil? So I don't need a church to talk to God. Yo no necesito una iglesia para hablar con Dios. I go to the church sometimes when the priest isn't there, and I enjoy seeing the Blessed Mother. I enjoy seeing the church and feeling it and smelling it. But I don't want to have a priest telling me what to do. I want to go directly to God. Jesus Christ is my best friend. And Jesus Christ was not a Christian. Christianity came 300 years after that. So para mí, igual que mis abuelitas, yo junto, I gather my spirituality from my heart and soul directly to God. And when you're religious, you go through an organization and the organization tells you what to do. To me, that doesn't make sense. The kingdom of God is within us, dijo Cristo. Well, then I got the kingdom of God within me. Well, then I want to go with the kingdom of God directly, and I have much more peace. Soy más a gusto, más contento, más en paz. Para mí la iglesia, ¿quién son estos hombres que no tienen niños y le están diciendo a las mujeres qué hacer? I really don't believe in men who've never had children and are old and don't even know what's going on, and they're telling the women how to have babies, when to have babies, and all that. In the old Indian way, women were in charge of the birth control according to the food supply. And I've been studying this now for 30, 40 years. My grandmother, mis dos abuelitas, ellas iban a la iglesia now and then, Pero every day they would pray. And lo que me gusta más de todo, mi abuelita decía, la Yaqui, que the sun, el sol, el Padre Sol, es el ojo derecho de Dios. The Father Sun is the right eye of God. And the Mother Moon, la Madre Luna, ojo izquierdo de Dios. The Mother Moon is the left eye of God. And all the stars up in the heavens are nuestra familia. And that's my cathedral. Stars and the heavens and the day and the trees and the rocks and the rivers. And I feel much more at home there. And when I do go to church, I mostly go there when they're not having services, so I can just be there quietly and talk to God straight.
Most definitely, that meditation, that innermost connection with our soul, and that inspirational that comes only from the heart and make peace with our surrounding. I definitely agree with you. We only have about 7 more minutes, Victor Villaseñor. One of the last questions I want to ask you, what would be your best advice for everybody in the community, in this country, to become a very good writer, a true writer? And what would you suggest to our community out there, to our listeners, your best reading novels that they can go to and start reading?
Para comenzar, to start with, we need to understand que nosotros somos el futuro de este país. We are the future of this country. We, los latinos, los mezclados, los indios, parte indio, parte europeo, parte otras familias negros. We have all three bloods in us. A lot of us have European. We're Indian with European and a little mixture of black. We are the future of this country. So what we need to do is know our own stories. Para hacer el futuro de este país, tener nuestras historias. And know English and Spanish perfectly well. English only robs the brain and makes it very stilted. And that's how people end up with Alzheimer's. Cuando you speak two languages, it expands your consciousness. And three languages is the future of this country. Un lenguaje indígena. In indigenous language, there's no word for want or need or greed or private property. Y una vez que entendemos, once we understand that we're the future of this country, and we talk to our father and mother and bring out the best in each other. When your parents, something happens bad, you don't ask them about the horrible. No, you said, what did you learn? What did you learn when that horrible thing happened? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó con mi padre cuando lo pusieron en la prisión? He went to prison for stealing food. In Arizona, he stole $6 worth of food and they put him in the penitentiary. What did he learn? My book, Rain of Gold, is a good start for adults and older people. For kids, Walking Stars, Estrellas Andando, is un buen libro. But for kids in high school, Burro Genius is very good. But then I tell the kids that the sequel to Burro Genius is Crazy Local Love, but I tell them don't read that one because it has sex in it. And they always think, which one's that? Necesitamos aprender nuestras historias y tener fuerza. La fuerza de los judíos es que tienen la Biblia. ¿Y qué es la Biblia? La Biblia es una historia de un tribu, de una gente. Power of the Jews is they got a Bible that they can identify with, that validates them. Well, we got our stories, we got our own Bibles too. And my book is a good start. We have lots of young writers. We have lots of writers coming together. We are gaining a voice. And the more books we write about our people, the stronger our story gets. So we are the future. Let's be a positive, wonderful future without revenge. No queremos venganza.
Absolutely.
We have to understand que nosotros somos buena gente con el favor de Dios y mañana es otro milagro de Dios.
The future cannot exist without the past, so to speak. And we need to tell the side of our story. And so that's why when we look at Arizona, when they banning Chicano studies in that state, that makes me sad. And this goes precisely to what you're saying, is that without telling our own story from our own perspective and telling our past the way it is and tell the truth and have that always in mind that, yes, we can, si se puede, and having that spirituality in mind. For those who are joining us, we are talking with Victor Villaseñor. He is a Mexican-American writer and author of 9 different novels and 65 different short stories, and also has been awarded many, many accolades about literature, and twice for winning the Pulitzer Prize. So we want to thank you so much, Victor. It's been an honor for our station, and has been, we are humbled just to have you on the phone to get to know a very successful leader of our people, of our community. And one last thing I want to tell you, Victor, before we get off the air, is that this station, KBVF 89.1, is a community radio station, and we'll be celebrating 40 years on the air. I thank you so much, and we definitely would like to extend to you an invitation. You can pay us a visit in person when we celebrate our 40th anniversary of this station.
I want you to add, what Roots did on TV, Grain of Gold is going to do for our people. The largest Latino production ever done, being filmed right now as we speak.
Great. Thank you very much. We hopefully to have you here in person so that the community can get to know you, the young people, and all over can get to know you and get to know your work and be inspired by you.
I feel honored to be invited. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Now you must not hate the white man. This will only delay his end. But if you will do the dance that I will teach you, all the ancestors will return, and the buffalo will be renewed, and you shall all live forever, forever in the freedom that we as Indian people once knew.
Grain of Gold is an incredible true story of the Villaseñor family and how author Victor Villaseñor's parents, Juan Salvador and Lupe, flee the dangers of the Mexican Revolution as children in 1915 and then come to the United States, marry, and achieve their dream. This true life saga chronicles 3 generations of a Mexican-American family. It is an epic tale of revolution, struggle and triumph, as well as a moving story of 2 young lovers. As a celebrated bestseller and HBO miniseries, Rain of Gold gives Latino, Mexican American, and Chicano youth the opportunity to see their heritage portrayed in a realistic way that mirrors many of their own experiences and helps give them pride in their identity. As a multi-generational saga which spans over 100 years, Rain of Gold demonstrates that Latinos have been a strong presence in the United States and have contributed to our nation's history. As a true life story, Rain of Gold inspires all people to tell their own stories and see the value in their own journeys, particularly as a means for bettering themselves and their family. Rain of Gold creates a dialogue between Latino and non-Latinos for the very first time about how the United States is truly a nation of immigrants, and that the experience is less about where people come from, but more about how they are able to thrive with opportunities in the U.S. HBO Network has had the vision and the courage to do a series about real Mexican Americans, as documented by revered author Victor Villaseñor. Not since the series Roots by Alex Haley has there been such great expectation, excitement, and hope. At a time when Latinos are under increasing attacks, a project like this could not be more well-timed. HBO is to be applauded for giving us a true picture of Latinos, Mexican-Americans, and Chicanos. If you feel inclined, let HBO co-president Richard Plepler know we are very pleased and will be watching for the series this September.